Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
Yeah. Praise Him. Praise Him like your mom is watching. Amen. Moms, we love you. Come on, can we thank all of our moms in this place? We love you, moms. We're not worshiping our moms right now. We're worshiping Jesus. We're thanking our moms. Moms, we love you. Thank you and for giving birth to us and for loving us. Can we thank the worship team? Worship team, thank you. You guys love Ryan? I love Ryan. I love Ryan. Ryan's not a mom, but you're married to a mom. Jamie, we love you. Beautiful family and... oh my goodness, so much going on, and Warrior Princess this weekend. How many of you were there? How many of you got to be there? Absolutely incredible. I don't know, something's just sound, maybe it's just me. Sound like I'm like a, just need a little juice, I don't know. You guys hear me? Everything's cool? All right, it's probably just too much coffee. Just, ears are plugged. Allergies, man, are legit. We need healing for allergies. That's for the birds. I don't want to put up with allergies anymore. There's certain things I'd never prayed for. I never prayed for allergies because I just figured this was a sickness that or something that was just, you know, just part of life. Until you want to rip your eyes out. And then I'm like, man, I need healing for allergies. Yeah, definitely healing for allergies. And my eyes, I'm 45 years old. I know I look 44, but my eyes have just started to go a little bit. And I was like, no problem. I'm going to look good in glasses. And so I was actually excited about glasses. Because how many of you have ever tried to wear glasses, but like you just want to wear the fake ones? And so you're like, I'll just wear these just because it's a style choice. But I don't like, I just haven't found some glasses that I like. So I'm going to pray for some healing on my eyes too. And anyways, this has nothing to do with anything. We love you all. Thank you for being here. We pray that you feel encouraged this morning and receive something from God today. Amen. And, you know, what's awesome about doing church, I'm kind of a church junkie, and so I find myself in church no matter what, even at a women's event, and it can feel a little odd, it's a little weird, you know, there's a very high level of singing, and I'm up here kind of, you know, hallelujah, I kind of felt like a loud old man, and a little weird sometimes, but just getting in the house of God, and the more you're in the presence of God, you just get filled up. And God just fills you, and you come back for church. And for me, it's like I'm not churched out. I'm actually more hungry. When you come into church and you receive from the Holy Spirit, it just keeps getting better, amen? And so I've got a word from the moms. Moms, you ready? Moms, you ready? Women of faith. Women of faith. Women of sincere faith. I want to talk this morning on sincere faith. All right, come on down. More, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let the little ones come unto me. Amen. She's just doing a lap. All right. She's doing a lap. I love it. So good. So good. And sincere faith, a sincere faith. I want to speak this morning. Spirit of Havilah. I feel like I'm an equipper now, being around Havilah. Like, I am going to teach you how to have sincere faith. She does her little tongue-in-cheek thing. Sincere faith. Get the word, even if you're a dude. You have to listen to a women preacher, but wow. It's not even, that wasn't even funny to anybody. They're like, what does he mean by that? I love women preachers. Joking. It's for everybody. It's such a deep word. What God did during this weekend was deep. Honestly, it was more than I had expected, more than I had even believed for. I hate to admit that, but God blasted me, and I just did some things that were absolutely incredible, and so get that word, put it into action, I think, and know it will really bless you. Sound mind, and I really believe that God will equip you to deliver you out of something that you might have been struggling for decades, and I want to speak this morning on sincere faith, and faith is a big subject. Obviously, it's the righteous will live by faith. We are saved by grace, by grit, quote it right, by grace through faith. Faith is the avenue to access the unmerited favor of God. Amen. Are you ready for his word this morning? You ready? I feel some hunger. I feel some hunger in this place. Come on, I didn't get dressed up for nothing. Amen. It's Mother's Day. And it's my first Mother's Day without my mom. And we are momless, and but we're not fatherless. We're thankful for our fathers and family. And there's just certain seasons in your life. You're like, where's Isaac going? Why would he talk about this? It's because it's where I'm at. It's where I'm at. And I want to speak about genuine faith and genuine Christianity. And I think a lot of times we're just a little fake. And God's going to bring you back to a place of sincerity and genuineness this morning. But I used to hate running around getting Mother's Day cards right after church. And we used to run to Walgreens. And I remember one time I didn't have anything for mom. And again, we do church, we work weekends, and I ran into Starbucks and just like grabbed a cup from Starbucks, but it looked really cool, and I grabbed it, and she loved it. She's like, where did you get this? I'm like, oh, it's not important. Don't worry about it, mom. I've been shopping for months. But I used to hate going to all these mothers, not hate, hear me. I'm just being, you know, really dramatic. But you sit in the car and you write all these cards out, you know, for your wife. And then my mom really loved deep cards. So I couldn't just be, love you, mom, you're amazing. Cheers. to the big week, big year for you, mom. Go get them, Tiger. You know, it was like, I had to like bare my soul. And if my mom didn't cry, I had failed in writing her a card. Had to touch the depths of her soul. You know, then my mother-in-law and a few other just important moms in my life, and I used to just be like, ugh. You know, I have like 4 Mother's Day events to be at, and now we don't have any. And don't take the season for granted, is all I'm trying to say. It's like, just don't take your season for granted, because it could be over, and before you know it. And the more you live life, you walk humbly, you judge less, you extend grace more, and you love more, you speak the truth in love, but you are just absolutely in awe of the sovereign hand of God on our lives and your life. And so, moms, we just want you to feel, after I just told you how many moms, I just want you to feel super encouraged. You can be my mom. Amen. That was my point. All right. Goodness gracious. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 16. I'm going to encourage you this morning around the word of God. And I really believe I have a word from God for you. Oftentimes I study and the word of God just speaks, and the word of God is always good. And every once in a while, I really believe the Holy Spirit gives me a specific word for you today. And sometimes I'm not as excited about those words because I think they're often simple. When God gives me a word, it's often simple. And I love more of a complex word. But I'm going to speak a simple word to you this morning. Is that okay? And I believe God's going to encourage you. Book of Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman. Someone say certain. Certain, an unnamed Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. Now, I want to speak this morning. I wish I had like an hour and a half this morning to encourage you moms, you women of faith. And I want to talk about not Paul, not Timothy, but Eunice. You know, Eunice. Timothy's mom, you know? And Eunice's boy, Timothy. And she was a woman of faith. Time will not allow me to really paint the picture and bring the context to this woman's faith. But I hope to just get you thinking for a second. He was well spoken by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted him to go with him. He took him and circumcised him because of the Jews. You know you have a spiritual son when you can circumcise them, not as a child, but as a young adult. And he was all good with it. Well, we don't know how good he was, but he went along with it. And they all knew. And they all knew that his father was a geek. Are you listening? He was Greek, not a geek. He was Greek. All right. We don't even have our... No one even brings their Bibles to him. It's okay. No condemnation. This is fine. This is fine if you're in the front row. You've got a coffee in your hand. It's good. Lord Jesus, let's just pray, Lord. We just want to repent this morning, Mother's Day. We got front row. The rest of you, it's fine. We got the Bible up here for you. It's good. And it's in your heart. But if you're in the front row, we just thought we talked about this. But all right. Everybody knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them to the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith. In the what? In the faith. And increased in numbers daily. Let's go up to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. This is Paul. Now, Paul is in prison at the end of his life. I remember. Paul is remembering a lot. I remember you in my prayers day and night. A lot of you have bad memories because you constantly think about the bad memories. You need to think about the good memories. You need to think about the good memories. And I'm not telling you just to be a positive Pollyanna. I'm just saying the narrative in your head could be because you've dwelt on only the bad memories. There's probably some good memories in there. And Paul is in prison. And he has been delivered so many times, but he has a sense, I believe, that this is it, that this is it. He's in Rome, and he's writing this letter to his spiritual son. He calls to remembrance, and greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. So the last time they parted, it was a cry session. And I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith, the sincere faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Louise, which is a term. This is not a name. This just means Grammy. This just means Grandma. This just means Nani. Who first dwelt in your Nani and your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded is in you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you. Can someone remind you to do just an obvious thing? Are you humble enough and full of enough faith that someone can simply remind you? Hey, just want to remind you this summer, stay in the Word, stay in church. I know. Or are you? Yes. Yes, you're right. Can iron sharpen iron, right? Because you might hear something you never heard before. I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and from a sincere faith. I want to speak this morning. Don't you hate fake people? And maybe you're so fake, you don't hate fake people, you love fake people, so you can feel yourself around them. And we typically find our friends at the level of faith that we have. That's why we say, show me your friends, I'll show you your future, because your level of faith typically ekes down to the group of friends that you don't have to challenge each other. You just pat each other on the back for surviving or coping or whatever it is. And so when you're around people of faith, they kind of irritate you a little bit because they're pushing you for the God call on your life. And so when we talk about sincere faith, a genuine faith, like when you're around people that are like sincere, your faith can actually be legit. Too legit to, but you know what I'm saying. Like you, Spirit of Hammer came on me. Hold on. Hammer, don't hurt him. Your faith can be genuine. Some of you are exhausted because your faith is fake. So you're all right, let's get into it this morning. And I promise you it's going to be encouraging. I promise you, you're going to be built up in your faith. Amen. Amen. Don't make me laugh alone. Amen. Thanks, sir. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we're here, God, not to sing some songs. This isn't a club. Nothing wrong with the club, but this is the church. This is the ecclesia, the called out ones, ones that you have saved and sanctified by your blood. Lord, we recognize that we are here not because of ourselves, even though you have called us. Lord, you have called us to walk out our salvation and work out our salvation. But fundamentally, Lord, all that we have is in you. Lord, you are the reason we're here. You're the reason we sing songs, and you're the reason, Lord, that we come together. We come together around the Word. We come together around the Word become flesh, Jesus. And we ask you to have preeminence in this place. Lord, we ask you that every mom would feel encouraged and be encouraged and quite literally leave this place with so much courage, Lord, to continue on in the thing that you've called them to be and the thing that you've called them to do. Lord, we pray that all fear, all intrepidation, all guilt, all shame, all anxiety, all depression, sickness, Lord, whether it's of the spirit, soul, or body, we ask you just to come and heal in this place. Just give God preeminence even right now. Just to say, Lord, we give you the next few minutes. We thank you for the weather. We thank you for the rest of the festivities of the day. But just for a few minutes, we ask you, Lord, we give you our mind. We give you our heart. We ask you for the word of God to come in and take root. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was reading the scripture, and I'm thinking about, I was remembering my mom, and my mom used to sit right there in Ryan's seat. You're sitting in my mom's seat. I didn't. Just, and my mom used to, you know, encourage me after every message. And I was remembering growing up in Sonoma. That's where we grew up, in the tough streets of Sonoma, Napa, wine country. And we, yeah, it was difficult. It was tough. It was boring. I mean, I could live there now, but back then we didn't know what to do with ourselves. It was just hot and boy, we used to sneak into the Mexican restaurants, and they used to, we would go in and they'd give us chips and salsa, and then our fifth bowl, you know, was free, and then they would kick us out, and because they knew that we weren't going to order any food. It was tough. It was a tough upbringing. We used to pool hop, and I never thought there was anything wrong with going into someone else's pool. I just, because I'm a Christian, and I let myself off the hook. I'm not out doing the sex and the drugs and the things, and so I'm like, if I jump in your pool, it's probably fine. And one day this guy yelled at us, get out of my pool. And I'm like, it's our pool, man. Like, this is our pool. And anyway, so, you know, growing up, I was a skater. It was in the 90s. All we had was Nintendo. All we had was Duck Hunt. And we were talking about, how much Duck Hunt can you actually play? I mean, after you kill about 1,000 ducks, you're about good. So you go outside and you play. That's why we have to help our kids manage the screens. Don't allow them. It's a powerful tool. This just got real serious on my story here. We have to take back our worlds because the screens are going to turn their brains into mush. And anyway, so we played Duck Hunt, and then you go outside. And I was a skater. I had the haircut. I had the whole thing. We'd grow our hair long and then spray sun in it, and then we'd go swimming, so it turned this really bright orange. We loved it. What is this blonde you speak of? You know, I'm like, we were going for the pumpkin look. So anyways, we were a skater, and, you know, I was a Christian. I was full of Jesus, but definitely language of the day. You know, you just like, whatever, you know, whatever. Flip your hair a little bit and take a chill pill. You know, we had different verbiage like that in the 90s, but I was the worst skater in the crew. And so when we would skate down Sonoma Square and the cops and everybody, you know, we were outlawed. Skateboarding was illegal. And so we felt pretty tough. You know, we were like skating downtown Sonoma. And I'd always get the ticket because I'd be the last in the pack. And the police would not pull me over, but they'd come up to me, you know, and they'd give me a ticket. I never paid a ticket. I don't know how to pay a ticket for skateboarding, but they would give us these little tickets. And I would always get the tickets because I was what was known as a poser. Does anybody know what a poser is? I'm not supposed to admit this stuff, but I am 45 now, and I'm reckoning my childhood, amen? But no one called me a poser. They liked me, but I was the poser. I was not a real skateboarder. I was the fake skateboarder. I mean, I could sort of do this and skate and, like, throw my hair back. Kind of, you know, do that, and, you know, let the girls know, hey, coming through, how you doing? And I could do that, but anything else I couldn't do. I couldn't kick flip. I couldn't ollie. I couldn't Mick Twist or whatever they were called, Kiki Vandeweghe or something. So I couldn't do any of that. So I was a poser. I enjoyed the look. I enjoyed. Actually, I prefer to not skateboard because it hurt. Like, you would fall off the skateboard and you would hurt a wrist and an ankle. all the real skateboarders, man, they're all like dinged up and bruises and collarbones are like poof, popped out. They're just like, I'm a skater. You know, I'm like, no, I just have a skateboard and I don't have any broken bones. I can pose really good. I prefer to, you know, to even snowboarding with Carrie. Carrie likes to snowboard too much when we snowboard. Like, I'm good. I go there for the fries and the fire and just the whole vibe. I'm like, take this in. This is amazing. Carrie's like, can we hit the hill? I'm like, all right. So, like, you know, I go down one hill and be like, hey, I'm cold. Let's get by the fire again. And, you know, I prefer to pose. I can pose. I can grab a surfboard and walk up and down the beach. And who wants to surf? There's, like, giant monsters in there, right? Like, I don't want my last minute to be like this big shark just, all right. Anyway, so I was a poser. I was a fake skateboarder. I love the image. I'll cut right to the chase because we're out of time. Some of us are posing as Christians, and it doesn't mean we're not Christians. It doesn't mean we're not part of it. We don't believe it. We're not like, but we really don't know how to do it. We don't really do it. It's just sort of something we go along with. And when Paul's talking about, hey, you know what? You are not an imposter, Timothy. You are not one, because Paul was surrounded by imposters, people who wanted titles, people who wanted to look the part, and he commended Timothy. You are genuine and you have sincere faith. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that your faith can be genuine. Your testimony can be genuine. Your prayer life can be. Don't be a poser any longer. Don't pick up prayer and faith and singing and just kind of go along to get along. This morning, God wants to give you genuine faith, genuine prayer, genuine. He wants you to stir up your gift to genuinely be able to pray for people, that if no one else gets anyone else from this church, but they get you, they get a genuine Christian that can cast out a devil, that can lay hands on the sick, that can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that can share your testimony, not like mine today, but with redemption. You know, I don't have a mom, but like you can actually get to a good ending of your testimony. You know, some people share their testimony, and they're like, it's still in the works, but it's real heavy and unredeemed. And you're like, man, are you saved? We're talking about a redeemed testimony. When someone gets you, do they get a worshiper? Do they get genuine worship? Can you break through the atmosphere at a hospital? Because if someone gets me, they're going to get someone who shows up with this little boombox. Not much of a boombox. Now we're, you know, talking 90s terms here. But if you get me, it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because at an early age, the scripture and the word of God and faith was imparted to be by my mom and by some of you and by church leaders to have a genuine faith, so that it wasn't just for church, it was for the community, it was for hospitals, it was for high school. And that's why going to high school actually wasn't really tough for me. I'm just here to be dead honest. When you have a genuine faith, you look at other people and you see them as broken and lost, and you're not as intimidated. I'm not saying there wasn't a little bit of fear, but you don't want what they have, because you have something that cannot be taken from you, because it was given to you by God. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, you got the real thing. Not everybody has a genuine faith. Some people, this is a club. Some people are just here to be entertained. Some people, and it's fine, it's good, but I'm talking about a genuine faith here this morning. How about a sincere faith? And Paul was like the Simon Cowell of faith. Paul, you know Simon Cowell? Simon, I have fallen off this stage on Mother's Day before. Not today. These are my guardrails. Okay, stay behind. Stay behind the guardrails. I did. I face planted on Mother's Day here a few years ago. Yeah. Never was the same again. Amen. Anyways, what am I talking about? Okay, Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell, he stands before incredible singers and goes, fake, karaoke. That's what he means. I don't believe you. Simon, but he's honest. He said, I don't believe you. It's just saved, healed, delivered me. Saved, healed, delivered me. Saved. That felt really good, actually. You should try that. Saved, healed, delivered me. Fake. Fake. That's Paul. Fake. I could use some other words. Fake. I don't believe you. That's Paul. Why? Because Paul was so hardcore. He was such a believer in Yahweh, the Old Testament, the Jewish people, the deliverance out of Egypt, the bringing together, Father Abraham, oh, Isaac and Jacob and David. And so this Jesus comes on the scene and he says, thank you, no thank you so much. And he killed people of the way. Why? Because this cat was genuine. He'd kill you. And then Jesus shows up and says, why are you killing me? And then he gets converted. But his genuineness towards grace and the gospel, I'm not ashamed because it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul gets so radically saved, he becomes the person that can sniff out fake. He can sniff out no, I don't believe you. Praise the Lord, I don't believe you. He can sniff out if your faith is rooted in scripture or experience. He literally, Paul is intense. Paul plants this church in Ephesus about 15 to 20 years A.D. And Timothy, who Paul says, this is the one person I entrust with my work. And Timothy, you got this faith from your mom. This faith, and actually was in your grandma. This faith has been imparted to you from your grandmother and your mom. Why? Because faith is one of the things that can be imparted. Your faith gets imparted to people around you all the time. Moms, the kids, and the family, so much of it is a part of your faith. Your secret history with God in prayer cannot be imparted. The anointing on your life cannot be imparted. You can't impart 30 years of picking up the cross and serving God in the ups and the downs and impart it by a moment of laying on of hands. But faith can be imparted. And so Paul says, man, that faith was in your mom, it was in your grandma, and Eunice was awesome. Eunice was a Jew who got converted on the first missionary trip that Paul was on. And in this Greek environment, it's modern day Turkey, but back in the day, it was a Roman Empire within Greece. And this place was one of the hubs, the economic hubs of the entire world. And so Paul says, we need to have a church there. Paul goes there and Paul faced so many of his toughest trials in this secular economy that would come against and resist the preaching of the gospel. But like modern day, when the gospel is preached, people will get saved. And though the dark get darker, the light does get lighter. And this church at Ephesus was Paul's baby. The church at Ephesus, there is no greater church that we know more about in the New Testament than the church of Ephesus. This is his church. We know more about this church than any other church. Paul plants it, and guess who took over it? I mean, this teaching team at Ephesus is the who's who of preachers. You get Paul, Apollos, Timothy, and John. I mean, that's all of the big boys except Peter. So this is the church. This is the mega church on the planet in its day. It's so effective in its reach that even in Revelations, the reason Jesus has to speak to the church at Ephesus is because they were so awesome at reaching people for God, is that they forgot their first love. They forgot the reason that it was all about, and what it is all about is Jesus and the passion for Jesus. But this church was awesome. The only reason Paul even got kicked out is because they were reaching so many people for God that the people who made the trinkets and the metal workers rose up to kick him out because so many people were being converted. They weren't selling enough trinkets to the goddess of Diana that they had to put something together because their economy was crashing, because revival isn't just for the meeting. It is for the culture and community where the Christians are impacted in the meeting. And so the entire region was being turned upside down. And so there's Paul and there's Apollos, and Apollos, who I believe wrote the book of Hebrews, was such an incredible preacher that the Stoics and the philosophers of Greece would come to hear Apollos because nobody could preach like Apollos. Now, I'm not here to downplay Paul because Paul was bad. But I mean, Paul, he could preach, but his thing was power. He didn't care if you liked him or not. He could care less. He probably killed your grandma. I mean, when he got saved, I mean, he had to deal with a whole lot of rejection. This Paul, they stoned him. I mean, you want to get stoned? I mean, stoned? Stoned? And right before, focus, right before
They put that last rock on your head. They don't. And Paul, I mean, when you go through a horrible death like that, you want the sweet release of death. Not Paul. No, they stone him. They give him 39 lashes, and they don't give him the 40th one, which they believe was the death blow. But Paul faced death. Paul had to go through the process of death like 5 times. I mean, this cat was shipwrecked and beaten and whipped and stoned and tortured. I bet you we couldn't even recognize him. His flesh was so deformed. Paul didn't care what you think about him. He knew he was ugly, and he knew he was sanctified. That's why he'd preach all night, and you fall out of the window asleep. He didn't stop preaching. He raised you from the dead and said, "I'm not done." You don't want Paul as your pastor. You want Peter. Peter would still hear roosters crow and stuff and like, whoop. Yeah, no, I need to preach a grace message. He was reminded all the time on his failings. He was a pastoral preacher, but Paul didn't care what you think. And Paul would even, I don't know if he was intimidated, but he talked about Apollos as a better preacher. And if you read Hebrews, you see a poetry and a conviction and a way to reveal Jesus, repeating himself when needed and not repeating himself at all. It'll leave you messed up. All of Paul's letters start with Paul. He tells them who he is, but not Hebrews. There's certain books in the Bible that these people were so awesome at what they did, they didn't get the credit. Like John talked about himself. John was such a love disciple, and John ended up even pastoring at Ephesus until they ran him out and sent him to the island Patmos. I mean, this church was on fire. This church had it. And so Timothy's mom got saved in this movement, but her husband never got saved. He never converted. He was a Greek, and so within this environment was Timothy's upbringing, and the trials and the persecutions in Ephesus were second to none because of the culture. And then Paul laid down his life for this church, and he's remembering, he's saying, "Timothy, I want to give it to you." He didn't trust anybody like he trusted Timothy, because Timothy had a genuine faith, and that is coming from Paul, who could, he didn't care. He'd just disciple you. He'd circumcise you. He just would cut you to the heart. And somehow Timothy's this guy who had this genuine faith. And Paul doesn't even say it came from me. Gave his mom credit. He said that faith that was in Eunice to stand in Greece during a revival and persecution second to none and trials, and a husband who would not believe. And when your household mirrors the culture, it's difficult to stand for the thing you believe, because it's counterculture. What we believe is not some religious thing. It's we believe truly that it's beyond a belief. It's all that I know is him. And so it's difficult. And yet Eunice stood there in a divided home, a divided culture. And Paul says, "I trust to you this incredible work, the church of Ephesus." And he says, "Your mom gave you a faith, and it's so sincere, so genuine." That's the mark of a Christian, is a genuine, genuine, sincere faith. And the first time we hear about Eunice, really, she's unnamed in the book of Acts. It just says a certain woman. And isn't that so appropriate on Mother's Day? Unnamed woman who gets no credit. I mean, come on, moms. Is that not mothering? Like, hey, I mean, literally my kids told me that they wanted mom to do the dishes. They didn't do the dishes because mom loves to do the dishes. And I had to explain them, just because your mom is an incredible mom doesn't mean that she loves to do the dishes. But moms get so much, you don't get the credit you deserve. And that's just like Christianity, though. You're never really going to get the credit you deserve. You're never really going to be acknowledged for the prayer and the spiritual impartation that you give to people. And that's why you do it for God. People often get hurt in church, first of all, because pastors and people are crazy, and I understand that. But a lot of times we serve to get accolades from people or to find our identity in this clique, because there's cliques in here, just like there is in any culture. And so we find our identity, and when we don't get what we want, we get hurt. And so that's why Jesus just said, "Do it unto me. If you see someone that has a need,
do it unto me. And mama didn't raise no dummy. Only person that sees everything you do is Jesus. And so when you do everything unto Jesus, he is the one that rewards you according to your faith. And so women, moms, people of faith, God sees every prayer. God holds every tear in a bottle. God sees every sleepless night. God sees every scripture that you read, every prayer that you prayed. And God said, I see it. I will reward it. I will bless you. I see your faith. I see your life. I see your testimony. When no one else saw it, if you didn't have a mom, God says, I saw it. If you didn't have a dad, God says, I've seen it. I've stood with you, and I will reward you, and you will reap what you've sowed. I love that Havilah word. She said, you sow in one field, but you reap in another. And I thought that was prophetic for so many people in our church. That's why you can't connect the dots. That's why if you're going to tithe, don't just tithe and go, well, it worked or it didn't work, because God will bless you in a different season or a different field. And I'm telling you right now, God's going to bust open that revelation that every seed that you have sown, every tear, every prayer, every desire, every season, God said, I'm not done working all things together yet. Hold on, have faith, take heart. I have overcome, and so will you in this life. Come on, somebody. Anybody that believes that. Jesus. So this unnamed mom, this unnamed woman, now has a name by the time we get to 2 Timothy. But now that we know her name, we still know her by her faith. That's a good word. Are you known for your faith? If not, just be known for your faith. Let's just cut right to the chase. Just today, determine, you know what? I'm not going to be known for my cuteness. It's difficult for some of us. Amen. I'm not going to be known for an athlete. I'm not gonna lie. I love to make people laugh. And there's times I that gets me in trouble. Because I just love it. I just love to be silly. Because people think they're so cool. And I know you. You're not that cool. Yeah, I've lived it. See, I'm a Pharisee my own way. I obeyed the Bible since I was 10. When people talk to me, I can sniff out it, and I just get a little overly silly, and I miss a God connection. All of us have a thing, whether it's good or bad. A lot of times it's a good thing. You're so smart that you can't help but being smart all the time. You just shut up sometimes. Some of us are such good talkers, have so much to say that you need to hear. Shut up and listen. I want to be known for faith. This woman who impacted 2,000 years, I mean, we're talking about this woman 2,000 years from her death, basically. And we're talking about her because we never knew her. There's two sentences of her in the Bible. And yet she had something called faith that was genuine, that we've gotten away from, that got imparted to her son, that changed the world. That was the only person, because of his genuine faith, that could handle Paul and handle his work. We know her by her faith. Your faith will be imparted to people. Worship team, come on up. The problem with faith is that everyone talks about it as like it's like a talk. We recognize faith as like, well, how much faith do you have? And I want more faith. And you know, the thing about this verse in 2 Timothy is after this verse, Eunice goes silent. We never see or hear about her again. All we see is Timothy. Can your faith be imparted without you ever getting credit or anyone ever knowing about you? It's tough because I've got disciples in this room. And when someone comes to me and they find out about you and they go, hey, I think I made that person, I'll be like, no. I've known Jared since he was in eighth grade. I cooked his first piece of chicken at a retreat. I was the grill master. We want validation so much sometimes. We can't just pour in without getting some credit. was the Hidden River Coffee, just an incredible couple, incredible business and ministry. God's just going to continue to bless them, and there's ideas that will come to them, and prayers that will come to them, and people in this room. And if something gets implemented, I just want to be like, oh, that's because I prayed over you. Oh, that's because we talked about that. Probably not. You know how much went into Jared? And probably from his parents. You don't know how much of heaven has been deposited before you ever showed up to the scene, to someone's life. And just because I get to play some role of a scene or a moment, if I can let go of my opinion, my reputation, and me needing credit for everything, if I can let it go, I can be used by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I have a genuine faith that is rooted in, Lord, you be lifted high. This is all about you. I wouldn't be here. I'm barely holding on as it is. I am because of you. I'm all because of you. It's always been about Christ. It'll always be about Christ. I gotta land this plane. Genuine faith. She goes silent, and all we see is Timothy. Could you imagine if your faith was only allowed to be seen in your kids? What if you had to go silent for the rest of your life? We never knew you, we never hear from you, all we see is your kids. And they are a reputation of your faith. I know this hits hard, because this is like, whoa. But I'm saying from today on, you are a person of faith, of genuine faith, and now you are imparting to your kids. We are no longer on autopilot. The screens are not in control. No one else is in control of my house. Boys, a whole new Bible reading plan's coming. I'm telling you. Because the faith and the genuineness of that faith has to be seen in my kids. If this mic goes down, I never get to say another thing, and you see my kids. This is what Paul's talking about. Your faith is seen in you. So now we see Eunice's faith in Timothy. And now, Timothy, think about what you hear from Timothy. What's your favorite Timothy saying? What's your favorite Timothy sermon? There is none. Timothy never gets to talk in the Bible at all. All we get to hear from is Paul. What if you never got to speak for yourself, but only someone else got to speak about your faith? Only Paul, who is, whoa, Paul, got to. What if Paul had to talk about my faith or your faith? It's not discouraging. It ought to be encouraging that a genuine faith is what it's all about. It's not what you post. It's not what you say. It's about the genuineness of your authentic faith that is rooted in the Word of God, that could be so effective and be so powerful that you don't have to say another word in your life, that all you have to do is live and you turn the world upside down and you get entrusted with the greatest church on the planet in Ephesus. We never hear anything from Timothy. First and Second Timothy is a letter from Paul to Timothy about Timothy. I remember someone preached this once, like, oh, I never even realized that. You never hear from Timothy, do you? Your faith is so transferable. It's contagious. You never hear from him. All right, let's read this. We'll close. 2 Timothy 3:15. What if, just leave that up. What if you couldn't source your faith in anything special, any personal experience, any divine moment you had with an angel at midnight, something that couldn't be recreated? I'm not downplaying any experience. I got touched in Africa when I was 17 years old. It changed my life. For a year, I couldn't say the name of Jesus without crying. That used to, you know, back in the day, that used to be the plumb line for repentance. I can say Jesus without weeping. Like, ah, I must have grown cold in the faith. That used to be like an old revival thing. A little intense. But if my summer in Africa was the thing, then you'd have to go have a summer in Africa. And God does not have favorites. He loves us all. And so Paul
He cites the source for this genuine faith that was in Eunice that got transferred to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:15. And from that childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. From childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped in every good work. Paul's telling Timothy, your sincere faith is because your mom read you the Bible when you were young. That ought to give us all hope that I need to bring Scripture back into my house. Yes, that needs to be the number one source of hope in your trial today, is that the Word of God, we're getting back to Scripture. Isaac, you got up on Mother's Day to say, read your Bible, moms? No, I'm here to say a sincere faith is rooted in Scripture, is rooted in personal receiving of Scripture. When you dig back into the Bible, that's why I'm kind of tongue-in-cheek making, we are getting back as a generation, as a church, as walking around with our Bibles. Literally, we are becoming people of the Word of God, that if you come up on my property one day, you won't just find me watching Netflix. You might find me getting into Scripture, and not just a verse a day keeps the devil away. I'm talking about 30 minutes. I'm talking about an hour. I'm talking about 2 hours. I'm not just talking about Romans 1:7. I'm talking about the entire book of Romans. Paul is saying your faith is because your mom, when you were little, didn't depend upon the youth pastor or the camp or a conference. It's because your mama read you verses and had you memorize Scripture, and you could quote Scripture, and Scripture got in you and produced a genuine faith. If I was Paul, and I'm going down on the record, I would want all of the credit for Timothy. I mean, he circumcised them. They were close. But Paul says, you know what? I can't lie. It's because your mama read you Scriptures when you were little. That's how powerful bringing the Word of God to the sinner. I see this. I see a revival. I see a Bible revival. I know it's simple. I know it's difficult to preach, but I see you literally reading Scripture for hours. I see artwork. Someone needs to start painting and writing Scripture, because artwork is coming back to the walls of our homes that reveal and resemble Scripture. The canonization of the Word of God is what unites Christians around the world. It keeps us all humble and centered around a faith that is centered around the given Word of God through men and women. I'm telling you, the Bible is coming back to family night. The Bible is coming back to dinner time. The Bible is coming back to our kids. The screens do not run this generation in Jesus' name, but the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God is what I stand on. The Word of God is what I believe. Come on, stand with me and shout unto God. If you are someone that says yes, 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 Lord, I want to be someone of the Word. Hold on. I want to be someone of the Word. I want to be someone God-centered in Scripture. Scripture's coming back. Literally, the Word of God. Literally, the Word of God. Literally, a love and passion for the Word of God. Women of faith, moms of faith, you are literally going to be known for Scripture. Scripture is going to be on your tongue. Scripture is going to be on your tongue. The Word of God is going to lead your conversations. We've got way too into pops. I'm thankful for psychology and counseling and all of the knowledge, but we're supposed to add knowledge to our faith, and our faith is in the Word of God, and we haven't been in the Word, so we can't do the Word, so we've only done what people's opinions are, and so we got to get back to the power of the Word of God. The Word of God divides soul and spirit. The Word of God is food. This is a generation that is starving. They're anemic, they're hungry, and they need the Word of God. They need some Christians that have some faith, not rooted in an experience, not rooted in a man, not rooted in a conference, but rooted in the very Word of God. Your faith is about to be rooted in the Word of God. Your worship is about to be rooted in the Word of God. Come on, church. Your family is about to be rooted in the Word of God. I'm telling you, let it go. You didn't want to be a Bible thumper. You didn't want to be a scripture quoter, but now you are, because a sincere faith is rooted in the living, breathing Word of God. The Word of God is about to transform your entire family, your entire kids, your entire church, your entire community. The Word of God is about to transform it. Open up your hearts right now. If you need this, just come to the altar. If you know this is a season of the Word of God, just respond right now. Just respond right now. You're committing your life right now to the Word of God, and you need prayer. Get up here. If you know that God's about to open up scripture for you in this season, get up here. He's going to break the fear. Everything you need is in the Bible. Everything you need is in the Word. Somebody, oh man, hey, remember that pizza we ate 8 years ago? That was so good. Hey, what are you gonna eat today? I don't need to. I ate pizza 8 years ago. The Word of God has become a book of legal reference. It needs to be food on the day. That's why they used to read and pray 3 times a day, because you eat ish 3 to 5 times a day, and so you would stop and you would get verses. Listen to me, every Christian in this place, hear me. We have to stop giving in. I love everybody. But you have to stop taking on someone's personal loss of their revelation of God or who they are in their darkness. You are the light of the world, but the reason you are the light of the world is because this is the light of the Word. And so you tell them in all sincerity, have you dug into Scripture? Have you dug into Scripture? Because last time I checked, in any revival, C.S. Lewis and J.R. Tolkien and the philosophers of the day, they were transformed and saved when they dug into Scripture to figure out, is this Jesus for real? And what is this Jesus? And when you dig into Scripture, in every revival is when you see the intellectuals and the lawyers and the doctors and the schools and the families of a community turned upside down. We are linked to that revival. Tell them, get into Scripture. If you are sincerely wanting to know if God is real, dig into the Word. They will come to you with everything that we all deal with in the flesh. What about health? Why do good things happen to, why? Hey, guess what? There's some good answers to some of that, and some of it's mystery. But I want to get back to the heart. Do you really want to know if God is real? Do you really want to know Him? Do you really want to know His name? Do you really want a relationship with God? Because God is real. We have to get out of intellectualizing with people's soul and get them back to say, let me tell you something. If you dig into Scripture If you dig into this word, I'm telling you right now, this is the light. This is the light into the path. This is it. If you really want to know, I'm telling you, open up the Bible, because you might never be the same again. Because when scripture is open, it literally will open up you and begin to speak to you. Don't withhold someone's ability to let the word of God in and speak to them. It's the word of God that begins to reach you and know you and speak to you and feed you and deliver you and cause you to repent. We're getting back to the word. 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 We're getting back to scripture. Even right now, let the Holy Spirit just speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit give you strategies. Let the Holy Spirit give you strategies. Let's get ready to see that Awaken song or the whatever song. Is that song? Not Awaken.
Awestruck.
Awestruck. I don't know the names of any songs. Just that thing with the beat. But I want y'all to sing it like crazy. Like sweat. Like I want you to beat those drums, Austin. I want you to have to buy a new drum set after. Just give me one more minute. I know it's Mother's Day. But there's an anointing on this word to break through the complexity of this generation. We think there's 50 million answers to the problem, and there isn't. We are in content overload. You are literally getting back to a personal commitment to going to the Word of God. Some of you, you're about to get a business plan from the Word of God. Some of you are about to get parenting count from the Word of God. Some of you are about to get marriage count from the Word of God. I'm telling you right now, all Scripture, all Scripture, all Scripture, all Scripture is God breathed. What did He do to you? He gave you the breath, the pneuma of God. When you open up the Bible, God's about to breathe new life. He's about to transform you. Open up your heart. Right now, let the Holy Spirit speak. God's about to open up Scripture. He's about to open up Scripture. He's about to open it. Holy Spirit, speak. He's about to speak. He's about to speak. If you need this, get up here. If you need this, get up. Our team's gonna be up here. If you need this, get up here. The Word of God's gonna come to you and fresh. Just step out of your seat, because you know this is your moment. Holy Spirit, right now, you're about to open up the Word of God. You're about to open up the Word of God to every person in this place. To every person in this place. A fresh commitment to Scripture. A fresh commitment to memorization of Scripture. Just commit. If you need to come up here and kneel at the altar, I just see a fresh commitment. Some of you are just getting this right now. You're like, okay, oh. Scripture. Digging back into the Word of God. Not commentary, not just a podcast. I'm talking about the Word of God. You are literally going to open up the Word of God for yourself, and God's going to begin to speak to you. If you need this, step out of your seat even right now and come up to this place. For some of you, we've just been going along, just being a Christian, but God's about to source your faith in Scripture. Scripture is about to literally feed your faith. The Word of God is about to feed your faith. The Word of God is about to feed your worship. Come on, take this. Take this now. The Word of God is about to feed your parenting. The Word of God is about to feed your job. The Word of God is about to feed. He's about to feed. He's about to live. The Word of God is about to breathe and give you something. The Word of God is about to do something. The Word of God is about to do something. you have to understand, I love you, you love me. We're doing church together. This is family. Some of you are visiting. This is family. I want you to buy a Bible this week. If I'm your pastor, I'm your friend, I want you to get the book. We are breaking. We are the first generation of screens. Hear me. We are the first child that you messed up on. The first child is a little edgy because we worked out our parenting style on. We are the first generation of screens. Every single one of us has made a mistake when it comes to screens. I'm here right now to admit it. But no longer. It doesn't mean they don't get screen time. It just means dad is in charge. I'm not gonna let YouTube raise my child. What we are doing is we have to go on digital detox for a while. I'm encouraging you to get the book and encourage your whole entire family. We are now a family of sincere faith that's rooted in scripture for ourselves. And we now are going to give the entirety of our life to this book, because this book can do for me what only Jesus can do. And this is not Jesus, but this carries the very words that bring me into his presence. If you want to pray this with me, fine. If not, totally cool. But I just pray a prayer right now. I still feel some people just need to come out of their seats. I know we got to get out of here, but this is a holy moment. Some of you couples need to say, you know what? Lord, we repent for too much Netflix. I'm sorry, I said it. Too much. I love all that we all do in our families, but we're going to get back to reading scripture. Your kids are going to go on detox for about 7 days. They're going to hate you. You know when you go on a sugar detox, your body hates you. I love this. Fresh commitment to the word. I'm telling you right now, you're going to open up the word of God. God's going to give some of you words. You're never going to be known for it, but God's going to give you words that are going to heal someone's cancer. God's going to give you words that are going to give someone a business strategy. Your strategy, we love knowledge. I love TED Talks. I love podcasts. But your number one strategy and faith is going to come from scripture. We are not better than any other generation of revival. We don't get to have our revival without a Bible revival. From Timothy to us, it is rooted in scripture. That's what God chose to do. It's not even in prophets, it's in scripture. It's not even rooted in any man, it's rooted in scripture. Holy Spirit, just a hunger right now. We gotta get out of here for just 30 more seconds. Just Holy Spirit, every person in this room, a fresh hunger for the word of God. A fresh hunger. God's gonna give you vision right now. You're gonna be on your porch. It's not gonna be boring. It's not gonna be weird. There might be a little detox session, but you now are centered around the word of God. Scriptures. Letting go of, I don't wanna be one of those Bible thumpers. Guess what you are? What else are you gonna be? A memer? A TikToker? No, I'm scripture. Holy Spirit right now, financial scriptures. Financial advice, marriage advice. It doesn't even make sense sometimes, but the word of God is about to feed you. The word of God is about to counsel you. The word of God is about to save you. The word of God is about to heal. The word of God is about to deliver. The word of God is about to give you wisdom. The word of God is about to give you strategy. This is my last prayer, so just receive this right now. The word of God is about to open up doors. The word of God is about to heal. I see that over some of you. You're going to crack open the word of God, and the word of God is going to go deep and begin to heal seasons of your life. You might dip into the book of Psalms. You might be in John. You might be in Romans. Sometimes it doesn't matter, but the word of God is going to wash and fill. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The word of God. The word of God. Amen. We love you so much. Moms, we love you. You are a woman of faith. You are a woman of faith, and your faith is rooted in Scripture. And your faith is about to go to new genuine heights. And you will be known like Eunice. And your faith will be contagious in Jesus' name. Can we just thank our moms one more time in this place? We love you. Be encouraged. Be built up. My advice to you is overdo it. Just overdo it with any mom. Just overdo it. Love them. Fill them up. Just overdo it. Moms, we love you. If you need some prayer, we're still going to be up here. Just a fresh commitment to the Word of God. Fresh commitment to the Word of God. Your faith is about to go off the charts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you'd like some prayer, come on up. Amen.